Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This episode of The Huddle is brought to you by the Athletic Club Oakland, my go-to sports bar in the East Bay. Look, this will be a shock to no one. I love watching sports, and I love it even more while at a sports bar. But to be honest, there is a long period of time where I just couldn't find one I actually liked. I'd find a spot that had TVs, but the food sucked ass, or a place that had good food, but they wouldn't show the game I wanted, and the inside felt dark and depressing. It was always some trade-off or sacrifice, and that's finally done now. The ACO is exactly what I'm looking for without sacrifice. They have a huge space, including an outdoor spot where they shut down an entire street and called it the Town Gardens. They have more than 100 televisions, which can and will show every game you ask for, and they have great food. The ACO has everything you need to comfortably watch your favorite team in any sport at any time with passionate fans. I love it, and I'm pretty damn sure you will too. The Athletic Club Oakland, where sports fans get everything they want every day they want it.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Women's Huddle with me, Bram, with him per usual, my boy and producer, Marcus.
What's up, Dev Nation?
And our master of all things video and sound, Maxine.
How's it going?
Boys, I am so fired up as I've been in hell of long, to announce that joining us for the first time in the huddle, a man with elite success at every level of basketball, including a retired high school jersey at Admiral Farragut Academy, an NCAA title with the University of Florida, and a world championship with your Golden State Warriors, the 16th pick in the NBA draft, a key member of the only team in history to win 73 games, the head coach of Team Spades Elite, and a guy who hit so many fucking clutch shots in the Bay, they had to put buckets in his nickname, Mr. Maurice Mo Bucket Spades. What's going on, Mo?
What's good? What's good, man? You gassed that intro up, but appreciate you. But no, that was good, man. I'm happy to be on the show. I'm excited. Let's get it.
Hell yes. And what you don't know is there's some pressure on today. So here it is. Yeah, we announced last week, took to Twitter, took to all of our social media channels, let folks know that you were going to be joining us. And almost immediately, we got a ton of positive feedback. Here, I'm looking at my Twitter account. Quote, he was an automatic bucket. What a great player he was for the Warriors. Great. Good. Here's another one. Mo is a legendary player. To my boy, we owe him for everything. Here's another one. Please let Bucket know he rules, and we love him in the Bay. So, Mo, there's some fucking pressure on today. If I fuck up or kiss your ass a little bit too much, just ignore it. Just keep rolling with the punches with me, and you know, hopefully the audience won't really notice my screw-ups.
No, I got you, man. I got you.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. So we got a ton of stuff for you, and here's my first one. So I was looking at your past, and I saw that you not only won that title at Florida, you won it as a freshman. And I'll admit to you, dude, at like 17, 18, I wasn't doing shit successfully. The most successful thing I was doing is buying weed somewhere. What the hell was it like winning a title at 18, dude? Like, take it through that experience.
No, it was the craziest thing is the year I got there, I was at Hargrave Military Academy, an all-boys school, watching them win the first one. For me going there, I'm like, damn, man, I don't imagine how that feels to win that. For me going to Florida, that's my freshman year after I left a military school. I'm like, damn, that'd be dope to win it again, especially with all these guys coming back. So we got an opportunity to get there again, and it's a dream come true. Me being where I'm from, just leaving a boys' school to be able to play for a national championship. With players like that was on there, who I watched just a year before, it was really a dream come true. I mean, it was amazing.
It makes sense. And it was in your backyard, right? I mean, you are from St. Yep. Petersburg, Florida. So, I mean, yep. winning in the state that you're from, does that make it even more special?
It makes it way better. Because you win Florida across your chest and you're from here. So it hits a little different from somebody who's from like New York or somewhere else playing for the University of Florida. Like it's a good accomplishment, but like you said, it feels different when you're from here.
Yeah, of course, man. Did you grow up a Magic fan? So, I mean, from St. Petersburg, I was looking at a Florida map today. So to keep it 100 with you, I'm from the Bay, born and raised in Oakland. I've never been to Florida. I looked up the map. It looks to me like you're closer to the Magic than you would be to the Heat. But what'd you grow? I mean, were you an NBA fan growing up? Who was your team?
Nah, I wasn't really an NBA fan growing up. I always liked that football. But growing up, I was kind of come from like Section 8 neighborhood. So the only time I could really watch NBA games is when the Chicago Bulls on. Like, I watched Orlando a little bit, but I was a Bulls fan, honestly.
I respect it. When did you decide or when did you start aiming towards going to the league? Like at what age did you realize, all right, this is a dream that I can actually get?
When I got to college.
Yeah.
And my sophomore year. Like my freshman year, I knew I was getting better because I was playing against these guys every day in practice. So I was like, if I'm able to play against Al Horford, Joakim Noah, Chris Richard, yeah. Corey Brewer every day in practice and be successful, man, I think I can make it to the league. So going into my sophomore year, I just kept getting better. And Coach Donovan gave me a lot of confidence with the assistant coaches. And I was like, man, let's see how this goes. And I just went out there and played. And so everything happened for a reason. So God was great. God was with me the whole time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it went well. Obviously, you get drafted 2008. You go to Philly. You make your way through Memphis, Cleveland, L.A., go to Orlando, and then you come to us, to Golden State in 2013. What drove you to the Warriors? What happened in 2013 where you wanted to come out here?
Man, of course, you got to look at what them guys was doing the year before I got there when they made that run in the playoffs with the beating Denver and then playing against the Spurs. And then just me just always going out to Oakland when playing against them, like they wasn't always good, but they always had a lot of fans, and I always wondered why these games always packed when these guys are not really that good. So that alone kind of like, man, damn, man, now they kind of want me, and me watching them, because I'm a big basketball fan when it comes to teams and all that. So I kind of knew what they was doing with Carl Landry and how they was using him, and usually how Golden State plays is fast and shooting a lot of threes. So I was like, man, I'd be able to go out there and get that role. And it was kind of a no-brainer when I got out there and felt the love from all the fans and all that kind of stuff. Just walking around, it just felt like college again.
Marcus, when you hear Mo say, you know, the team was kind of shitty, but when I came in, the Bay Show represented, does that make you hella proud? I am right now smiling ear to ear. We're not on video, but I at least want to throw that out there.
But definitely, I got the same smile on my face.
Let's go. So that you know, Mo, we've been rooting for this team, man, 30 years, man. You know, I watched them be terrible before you helped come in here and usher in the dynasty. So we were those fans. You know, when you came in and our team was getting their ass beat by 20 points, we were the guys sitting upstairs still screaming. So I really appreciate you saying that. You know what? Here's what another thing I wanted to ask you. I saw that you ran into Andre Iguodala twice. You play with him in Philly, and then he comes to the Bay the same year you did in 2013-14. Yep. Did you know he was coming? I mean, like, did you guys talk about joining the team before you did?
No, I didn't, honestly, because I had seen something that he was going. I think he probably signed before me, maybe, but I had seen it, or we was about to sign the same time, and I had called him. I was like, oh, that's crazy. You about to go out there, too? I was like, yeah. So we had a connection for sure. I've been knowing him. You know what I mean? I played with him my first 3.5 years, so I kind of knew who he was, and we had that connection. And the same thing with Sean. Like, man, Sean played together too when he got there my second year with the Warriors. We played together in Cleveland with Luke Walton and all that. So it was crazy that all the guys kind of got back together like that. But I say everything happened for a reason, and Warriors are trending in the right direction. So a lot of everybody wanted to be a part of it.
Hell yeah. Here's the reason it happened. That next year you won a title, man, 2014. And it's in this dynastic run, right? And you were a huge reason to that. Here's a super random ass memory I had. I remember in 2014, you had a big game against Philly. And here's why I remember. Right. I got a friend in my life named Tone. And I remember screaming Mo fucking buckets at Tone all night because I think you had like a 32-point spot, man. So you helped me give it to my friend. But that's not why I wanted to bring up the title year. What I wanted to ask is, so now when we look at the Warriors, we associate them with championships. But that wasn't true in 2014, you know? So for you guys, right, that first year, when did you really start to believe, okay, you know, this could be a title team? I mean, was it right from the jump? Was it in the playoffs? When did that begin?
So going back the year before when we had Mark Jackson, we lost to the Clippers in game 7 in L.A.
Yep.
Everybody was just in the locker room just talking like, man, everybody just get better, man. We got a chance to be really good. But when we say really good, we ain't nobody talking about championships. We're just saying really good because yep, everybody's starting to feel it. Right? Starting to feel it, but The year we came back and won the championship, the whole year is like, man, what if we did this? What if we won, man? What are we gonna do? Like, guys just saying, what if? Like, it was like a far reach, but you start going through the season and guys getting better, the second unit coming off and having the first group, not having to play so many four quarters. So it's like, yo, we got a real chance. Everybody's fresh, we going to the playoffs. Then hey, it was wrapped after that. It's definitely a fun experience, and guys got better and growed as men. You know what I mean, the fans got even more gassed up and turned up. So, man, it was just an amazing time out there, man. Just always walking around that Bay Area, and especially Oakland and the area over there, and just getting a lot of love from kids, from older people to guys your age, just showing a lot of love because they really appreciate what you do for the Bay Area because it was down for a little while, but it's gassed up now out there. Jumbo gas.
I like that you said that. Down for a little while. We were down bad for 3 decades, Mo, and you helped us get the hell out of that. So I appreciate you putting it that way. And I tell you what, one of the things I noticed in getting ready for this, you were there at all the big moments as this team turned it around. You just identified one of them, the switch from Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr. And you were there when Draymond first started starting, when he took over for yep, David Lee, you know, and you were there when they won the first title, and you were there when they won the 73 games. So, I mean, just picking them up quick, the switch from Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr, how hard of a transition was that? Did you notice a difference immediately? Just tell us about that.
Honestly, it wasn't that tough because, like I said, after we lost the Clippers in game 7 in the locker room, everybody said, let's do it. Let's get better. Let's work. Everybody coming back to training camp with Steve Kerr, everybody's kind of like, we already locked in. We ready. Steve Kerr just going to come in and put his system in. But at the end of the day, we ready. Everybody got better coming into that training camp. Everybody was better. Everybody was more mature. We just had went through that bad feeling of losing to the Clippers. So we was like, man, we locked in. They hired Coach Kerr, so everybody locked in. I know he going to come with a lot of championship experience. And he was always big on turnovers. So he did what he had to do, but at the end of the day, it's really the players that was ready to go. I mean, yeah, he gave us the system, and we just got to, you know what I mean, kind of like go out there and do the system what he gave us. And everybody just was better that next year.
How about that switch to Draymond? When D-Lee sits, Draymond becomes a real portion of the, you know, the team and of the rotation. What was it that allowed him to impact the game that way? You know, I mean, I watch it as a fan, but probably don't understand it the same way that you do. You're sharing a bench with that guy, sharing a locker room. What is it about Draymond that lets him go beyond, you know, his stats, beyond how tall and how much he weighs?
So the thing with Draymond, man, he's competitive, man. He want to win. He want to play hard. He going to talk his trash. It's all coming from a good place. But a guy like Draymond, kind of been a big his whole life. So when you get to the NBA and you got a 6'7" big now, compared to like when I got drafted, even years before he got drafted, you always had a big 4 and you always had a big 5, 6'9", 6'10", or a 7-footer. The league haven't seen, other than Charles Barkley, seen a guy like Draymond who could push the ball, who could make plays, who's not really trying to score all the time, just a competitive like that. So that kind of like Coach Kerr kind of like got that system into us that we're going to have Draymond at the 5 sometimes. So the league going to be like, man, what are they doing over there? And it helps. Small ball 5 kind of helped because, like I said, he's been a big, so he could guard a 7-footer. He could guard a 6'10 guy. He could guard anybody. Like, You see what I'm saying? So now you got four or five guys out there who could guard everybody. It took the lead by surprise. And other teams try to do it. You can't do that when a guy who never really played five before or played four before. Like, you can't do that with a Ben Simmons. You can't do that with all these other kind of guys who never played down there. These guys been guards their whole life. Draymond haven't been guard his whole life. So he's been a big. So when Coach found that out, the rest was history. Yep.
MT, I know you had a question you wanted to run by him. Go ahead.
Yeah, what's up, Mo? So you rattled off a couple names that you cut the Nets down with at Florida. Corey Brewer, Joe Noah, and then Al Horford. Al was in the finals last year playing against the Warriors, and looks like, you know, they may be barreling towards each other again. My question to you is, you got another seven-game series in where you can check Al for us and just let us bring home a repeat in the finals?
Man, it's gonna be the playoffs gonna be amazing. I can't wait to see it, man. I definitely tell Al, man, hold up, man. You gotta hold up. I know you kind of want to get one so you can get out of there, but them boys, the Warrior boys, locked in. It's over with for the league.
Yeah, let's go. I mean, I'll pick up on that, Mo. I was gonna ask you towards the end, but do you view right now? You know, so we're recording this on a Monday. We finally know what all the matchups are. On Saturday, the Warriors start off against Sacto. When you look at the league right now, do you view the Warriors as title contenders?
Always. You can't never not have them. You got to. If not, if you don't have the Warriors some kind of way in a conversation to win this thing, you're on drugs. Just being honest. Like, there's no way. Like, these guys won all these championships. Why would not? You know what I mean?
Of course. Say the bench. I'm so here. I got a couple more follow-ups on your time with Golden State, and then I'm going to bring us right back up because I can't. The more knowledge you can drop about why they have a shot at the title this year, the more I want to hear it. But let me ask you this first.
Right.
2014 wasn't just the first title. It's Steph's first MVP. So yep. Same kind of question, right? We always knew how good Steph was, but until he started winning MVPs, we didn't view him as that caliber of a player. We do now, but not back then. In 2014, did you guys start that year wanting to get him an MVP? Did that just kind of develop? How did that go?
Like I said, like before, like we went into training camp, everybody competing, everybody, it's a whole different energy. Everybody competing, everybody going at each other. Steph worked so hard, man. He worked so hard during practice and after practice. And then he's in a weight room. Like, he do all the little stuff that prepare him for that moment. Like, all those moments before, those years before, was preparing him for that one moment when he was able to get that championship. And y'all know, when you win, everybody eats. So we winning. Steph was playing good. Everybody's playing good. It's the perfect time. So now you got to look at the Warriors. Now you got to see that, damn, that light-skinned kid over there is killing. Like, you got to give him a look at an MVP and then be able to impact the team and to be the superstar he is and being so humble who he is. Like, there's no way you not give it to him. You know what I mean? Like,
yep. I love
like
that.
Kid, the guy just works so hard, man. The guy works hard. So I appreciate for him, just watching him work.
You may have just answered this, but let me phrase it a different way. And MT already mentioned a couple of these names. But I went through that, you know, all the rosters you played on, and you played with some fucking greats, man. You played, you know, right. In college, Horford, Noah, Brewer, outside of college, Allen Iverson, Kyrie Irving, Zach Randolph, Mike Conley, Klay Thompson, Andre Iguodala. I mean, Sean Livingston, the list goes on and on. And I throw that out there just because what sets Steph apart? You know, I mean, you've played with real elite talent. Is there something that you can point to that made Steph different?
Just his work ethic, man. Like, a guy like that who's working on his game still today, like, comes in the gym early. He's one of the first ones in the gym on getting treatment, one of the last ones leaving. He's getting shots up. Like, he has something inside of him that other guys really don't have. That's why I'm, like, never surprised at anything he does, because I've been there watching him work countless hours and all the time and always want to get better and loves basketball. That's the thing he does. He loves basketball. He don't ever think he's bigger than anybody else, especially on his team. He's going to make sure his teammates is good and, you know, always ask questions. And, you know what I mean? Like, and that's why I say he is different from anybody else I've been around that. A guy loves ball. He's not rushing to get out of that gym. even though he got all these, he got these kids and his wife, he's not rushing out of that gym.
I love to hear that. I mean, I'm not surprised, but I love to hear that. What kind of a teammate is Steph? I mean, is he no one would blame him if he's above it, you know, an MVP, final MVP, all of that shit. But when you were playing with him, was he a good teammate? Who was Steph in the locker room?
No, he's a great teammate. He's a great teammate. He's not really a vocal leader like that, but he's going to lead by example. You know what I mean? He kind of jokes sometimes when it's time to joke. You know what I mean? Just a great guy, man. Like, if you ever want a kid, man, you just show him Steph. Light-skinned kid, loves playing basketball, and got an edge to him, and he's not soft. So when guys look at him like, man, he's light-skinned. Don't get that confused. You know what I mean? And that's what happens to a lot of these guys. They get it confused, and that's what happens when you do that to a guy like that. Even like Clay, like, those guys are different.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
We've heard, so different people have been on the mics on this show, and we've heard both sides of what you're saying. We had Tim Roy on last week, the play-by-play guy for the Warriors, and he talked about, look, if you wanted to pick an NBA daughter who would come and date your daughter, it's fucking Steph. You know, you want Steph to show up. And then we've had other people say, don't let the baby face fool you in any way. This guy is an assassin. You know, when it comes to competition, he will cut your heart out. It just is what it is. Both of those are true.
Great. That's perfect. He'll give you anything you want. But when you cross that line, it's over with. You know what I mean? Like, it's over with. You smell blood. Like a pit bull. Like, you get on that neck, it's over with.
here, let me ask perspective. All right, I'm a backup. So you've played in six NBA cities. You've played in two countries. You know, you played in China for a little while. We hear when people talk about Golden State, you hear this phrase, championship culture. I say it all the time because it makes me feel important, but I don't really know what it means. So being in other spots, right, and then being in Golden State, what is championship culture? How is it different here than the other spots you've played?
The small things, it's really about the details and the small things. Like coming from the front office, like every road game, they rent out restaurants that you could go eat at with your family. Small things like that on off days. Guys that somebody has, so for example, if Draymond got a barbecue or party, you would probably get everybody over there hanging out at one point in time. If Iguodala got something going on or some kind of event, we all at the event. So the small things like a day off, coach give everybody a day off. We might still go, everybody might still be in the gym at one point shooting. Like all that little stuff like that, it carries a long ways. Like, always on the road, always eating together. Family always in the facilities hanging out. So everybody is family. That's the championship mindset, that when you always around your teammates and it's never a time that you really arguing like, damn, man, I don't want to be around. No, you love being around your teammates. You love working together. You love going out eat with your teammates. You always going to your teammate house hanging out like you're in college. Like, that's the championship mentality. And it's been on teams that this guy might have an event on a Monday. Another guy, same guy, an event at the same time on a Monday. So you can't really support each other because all these different events. You get what I'm saying? So with the Warriors, it's like they, from the front office to the players to the ball boys, it's a family, man. Like, those guys do it the right way. The owners, Bob, and I mean the GM, like Bob and Lakeup and Peter. Those guys do it the right way. Like, and that's why they built that championship mindset team over there now. Like, they did that, and the players had a big part to do it, but the front office, you got to give them respect for what they did and what they keep doing, because they're building something special. They built something special.
You got me smiling.
That's why.
I'm smiling yet again, Maurice. Nicely played. Maxime, what do you got, man?
We saw something that surfaced recently is after Clay had his Achilles injury, right? That second sort of devastating injury, or so he felt it was devastating. you know, there's this image of Steph going over to him with his towel over his head. And I guess what came out is him saying like, yo, you got a lot of basketball left. That comes to mind, especially also in the context of what you're talking about with, you know, the front office being a huge part of this championship run. And Bob Myers coming to Draymond when Draymond was, you know, feeling pretty angsty a couple games ago. And I guess, you know, Bob Myers said, hey, like, you got a lead right now. I'm curious if, you know, Steph or Bob Myers or anybody, like, is there like a, somebody said like some sentence to you, something like, hey, you got a lot of basketball left, that's like really stuck with you?
It's probably too much to really remember. Honestly, I ain't gonna lie to you, but there's a lot of times the confidence in those guys and they have and they players, like, when I'm on the court, especially me when I was out there, like, if I'm open, those guys, man, most shoot the ball. Coach ain't bringing you here to be a best of the league, to be a stopper. You know what I mean? So just the confidence of that. These guys, I'm on the court with these guys, and they're able to pass me the ball. You know what I mean? And shoot the ball. Like, that's the part I kind of, like, appreciate and always acknowledge that the action's more than the words when it comes to basketball for me. You know what I mean? So those guys just different. Like I keep saying, those guys just different, man. It was a great time out there, and I wish, you know, I mean, nothing but the best to them guys always. I mean, I stay in contact with some of them. It's cool.
That's so dope. I remember I think Steph called you a splash cousin.
Yeah.
And like, for me, I was juiced on that, and I can't imagine how that would have felt like for you. So it's like, oh yeah, that's that putting, you know, actions behind the words, that real empowerment.
Well, and, right. And we can add, Mo, I mean, I can't speak for the players. I've never met them, but I can speak for some of the fans, man. I mean, that's, you know, in a lot of ways, this is who we do this podcast for. And I'm just going to go back to what happened when we announced your name. Everybody, we don't pay them for the reactions. When we said Mo Buckus is going to come join us, everybody across the board got hella fired up. And that's because of the love you've earned in this fucking city, man. You made a huge difference. You were at the ground floor. You're one of the reasons that we have a dynasty here. So, you know, at the risk of saying the obvious, thank you. And here, I had this question, and I need your opinion on it. So the big news today, maybe not the biggest, but one of the big stories is our boy Gobert punching slow-mo. And we've seen, you know, some footage of that. And we are not strangers to punches here in Golden State with the whole Jordan Poole, Draymond Green thing, which leads to this. So I have never been in an NBA locker room. I've never been in an NBA practice. I've never seen NBA competition. Is teammates getting heated like that? You know, have you ever seen a teammate go after another teammate? You don't have to give us names, but like, is that super unusual or is it more normal than we know?
To the point, not really the punching thing. That's not always, like, guys don't get in each other's face and people are always going to break them up before it happens.
Yeah.
So, but arguments and all that happens all the time because we all professionals, we all want to win. We all compete against each other. You don't want nobody just killing you. So it's like, it's going to happen, especially in like training camp. It's going to happen. Like, everybody been working on their game all year, all summer. So everybody trying to show their game. But now you think, you nice, and I think I'm nice because I've been working. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to happen. Like, it's going to happen regardless. But it don't never get to the point that you swinging on somebody, though. Like, that's the part right there kind of across the line. It seemed like it's something deeper than that, I think. But we never know, especially with Rudy doing that on national television. That's different right there.
Yeah, hell yes. And this is me talking, not Mo. Not only did he throw that punch, I've never seen anybody run backwards faster than Rudy Gobert after he threw that punch. He was like in the locker room before Kyle Anderson even reacted. But again, that's me. That's not Mo.
Some of these guys ain't really like that, man. But it is what it is. You know, it's easy to be kind of tough when you know security is around. You know what I mean? Like in that locker room, ain't no security around. So what's gonna happen in the locker room is we're going to back now. So that's what a lot of these guys get confused, man. A lot of these guys is a tough guy because they know somebody's going to stop it.
I mean, yeah, I was
surprised to see Kyle kind of go back at Gobert. His first reaction was to go at him. And I was like, oh, okay, slow-mo. I didn't think he had that in him. But I agree. It looked like if they were in the back locker room, Gobert would have regretted that decision pretty quickly.
Well, supposedly in the locker room, I mean, the reporting is then in the locker room, Kyle Anderson said, I will beat your ass. I mean, I don't know what happened or what, you know, what went down exactly after that. But Mo, here, let me ask you, So the way I phrase those guys is hold me back guys. And the NBA is filled with them. I recognize them because I'm one. When I played hoop, I pretended like I wanted to fight, but I didn't, dude. I wanted to be held back. So for you, let's start with Kyle Anderson. You know, do you view him as a hold me back guy, or do you think he actually wanted to swing out there?
Probably wanted to swing because we're like how it happened with all these front end people, but I bet by the time they left that locker room, they shook hands and gave each other a hug.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
How about Dylan Brooks, man? I'm going to ask you, but I have to. So tagging this shit with Dylan Brooks, he drives me crazy. When you watch him, do you view him as a hold me back guy, or do you think he's down to swing?
He kind of a little off. He kind of looked crazy, so I think he probably would swing somebody. But I don't think he's going to be the first one to do it. I don't think he'll be the first one to do it, though. I think he's kind of like, if somebody take off on him, he'll probably get into it. Like, I hope he'll try to fight back. But
that makes sense.
These guys just...
Now, here's our last segment, and it's a really looking forward to.
Good.
It's called the first pick idea. I'm going to give you a scenario, and then you tell me who you would pick to help you out in that scenario from all the teammates you've had in the past. I'll give you an example. Here's our first one. Your team is down 1 point, 5 seconds left. You guys are inbounding. You can get the ball to any of your former teammates. Who do you give it to? Who do you pick?
Come on, man. I can't. I only get one answer, huh?
You can give me a couple. Who are you thinking about?
I get the Clay.
Let's go.
I get the Kyrie.
Yeah. All right. I love it. All right. Here's the next one. Mo, you have $250K to invest. You know, it's not all the money in the world, but it's enough. It's money you want to make money on. You have to pick a teammate who's going to invest it for you. Who do you pick?
Andre Iguodala.
I knew you were going to say that. Why? What is it about Andre?
He's smart, man. The whole time I've been knowing him, he always read books on the plane about stuff that's going on now. Like, back then, he was reading about this stuff. So, don't be surprised he had a team. He owned a team soon. He got kind of loaded.
All right, here you go. Here's the next one. Bad news, Mo. You're out late. You see a shady ass group of people who seem like they definitely want to fight. That's the bad news. Good news, you get to pick any teammate you've ever had to have your back. Who do you pick?
Tony Allen.
Why?
What do you mean? Nah, he could. Tony Allen or Z-Bo. I'm going with those guys. Because I know they got that grit grind in them. So,
what do you mean?
I love it. Yes, hell yeah. The what do you mean is the best follow up question there's been. Here's the last one, Mo. You're on a 10-hour flight. It's boring as shit. You don't have your phone, no movies, nothing. But you get to pick a teammate to sit by you and entertain you. Who do you pick?
Barbosa.
Funny, good stories. What is it about Leandro?
Everything, man. Everything. How he talk, everything is funny. He gonna make weird noises. He gonna talk about all kind of different stuff, and he don't keep you entertained. So,
great answer, Mo. Thank you, man. That's all I got. We had a great time. I really appreciate this. I hope we can do it some other time, maybe as the playoffs go forward here, and get some of your updated opinions. Right.
I appreciate y'all for having me, man. Go Dubs, man. Good luck to y'all guys out there, man.
Yeah,
I know the shit. Fans ready for it.
What's your prediction? Who wins it?
I don't got nobody. I'm not buying. I can't. I don't got nobody. Yeah, I don't got nobody.
Nah, it's all good. If people are out there looking for most Spates in their life, where do they go, man? Anything you want to plug?
And I'm always on Twitter. I think it's most Spates 16. MSpace 16, I think. I'm always on Twitter. So, though, like you said, when you announced that I was going to be on there, a lot of those guys added me on Twitter. But that was dope.
Yeah. Well, you, MT,
appreciate y'all, man. Good luck to y'all guys, too.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thanks a lot, dude. The real deal.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all again, man. Good luck to y'all, man. Y'all got a great thing going on, man. So I'm glad to be on the show and appreciate it, man. Hope, like you said, we'll get on one another day for sure. Thank y'all.
That was good. Excellent. Appreciate it.
Pleasure is ours. Talk to you soon, man.
Good.